Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 7:14. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your morning mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. In just a moment, we are going to be talking about schools going back. How are they prepared? Are we ready for the year that is likely to come? Joining us on the line, Director of Kodesh and Ethos at Yeshiva College, Principal of the Yeshiva College Girls High School, Natalie Altman. A very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Yes, thank God. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Back in studio today for the first time, so it is takes time to get used to some of the abuse that I'm receiving from listeners, but that's all right. We get into that very, very quickly. Your abuse starts when? When is school actually opening?
Our plan at the moment is opening for the teachers on the 18th and the children coming back on the 19th. However, I think one of the things that 2020 taught us, we learned then, is that we take things day by day. And we literally opened with the permission of the doctors every single day.
Right.
So it really is day by day, but that is our plan as it's been.
Right. So at this point, schools will be, and is this the most of the Jewish day schools sticking to this type of timetable? Do the schools decide these things together?
So it's been an unbelievable, I think, change in our community where the schools have worked very, very closely together, both on protocol and on decisions. And while there are nuanced differences because of different size of schools, et cetera, we really have worked together. We've got a common WhatsApp group after at some points we met weekly. So it certainly is a decision that's proposed together, and then each school kind of tweaks it for their specific needs.
Right, but it does make it easier that the schools are operating along similar lines, because you don't have somebody saying, well, my kids at Yeshiva College, my kids at King David, my other kids at King David, and everything's a little bit different. Here,
exactly.
The schools are making the decisions together, obviously, with your medical teams.
Absolutely, it does make a difference, and I really believe that our collaboration has made us each stronger,
right,
individually.
So, how's it going to look? Let's assume that it can go ahead for January 19th for the children, and I would imagine that it's also dependent on whether the state where the Sura Ramaphosa comes out and makes another ruling. So, as you say, every day things could change. But at this stage, comes January the 19th, how school's going to look?
I think they're going to look quite similar to last year. What I'm hoping, I'm sure everybody knows, that school has been delayed a week for most schools,
mm-hmm.
Most schools haven't even gone online. We were just hoping that an extra week would give us time to ensure that all our protocols and schools are absolutely fit to have the children back safely, the children, teachers, etc. So we really, really hoping that homeschooling was so hard for parents that they are going to do everything this week to quarantine, isolate. I use those words obviously quite broadly because it's not like no one can go out at all. But we have implored parents both on a personal level, each school has sent out their own letters, and as a community of schools, we've sent out one letter to plead with parents to have no social interactions, to go to no social gatherings, so that we really can come to school together after being at hotspots and keep the schools as safe as possible. I mean, thank God, as far as I know, almost every single school, while there were a few isolated COVID cases, almost all of them could be traced to a family member or something outside the school environment. And the schools, even, you know, just after the peak, went back. In July, God, able to be kept safe, and that's what we're hoping for now.
Well, that is what's so interesting, is that we have learnt a lot. You know, I know that there's this phrase that everybody uses, oh, we don't know anything about COVID, and if there's one thing we've learnt is that we know nothing. Actually, that's not true. We have learned a lot, and we have learned, one of the things that we've learned is that the schools, if they are managed correctly, are actually very safe places, that we can send our kids there with confidence, provided, and I think that's the line that we really do need to reiterate, is that parents are responsible before the kids come to school. And I don't think we could state just how important that is that if you have returned from holiday, that parents just make sure that for a week at least, you just keep your kids and you keep your families quarantined or isolated or careful, so that we don't introduce anything back into the school.
Absolutely. And I spoke on the Chief Rabbi's webinar last night, and I think we have to stop feeling so sorry for our kids. While it has been a hard year for them and for everybody, that's a very dangerous and slippery slope where we allow them to do things that we know might not be in general okay, but because we feel so sorry for them. I can say that the majority of our community has been privileged. We have internet. We have outside spaces in our homes. We have devices. Our schools have provided the really top education. I've got no doubt that the matric marks of all the schools will not be compromised this year. And so we really just at times have to pull at our belts and say, sorry, guys, we can't do this for now. And while it's difficult and it's driving parents crazy and the kids are resentful and angry, we really have to be able to, everyone has to understand that we have to do this in order to not only go back to the campuses, but to remain on the campuses. And this, we have to remain vigilant over this next surge, and also in order to prevent another one. And there's nothing more critical if parents want their kids at school, which I assume that they do.
I think parents desperately look. I think if there was another good lesson or another positive, I think parents found a whole new appreciation for teachers during the last year. But I think that your point, and I do want to go back to that, and I think, because I think it is vital, is we have a tremendous amount of guilt as parents. We feel so sorry for our children all the time because they aren't having the childhood or the last year and a bit that not having the childhood that we imagined them to be having. But really what you're saying is that they're still okay and they're very privileged, and obviously we need to be empathetic and we need to understand that it's come with a lot of difficulties, but we need to measure that and still be responsible until this is all over.
Absolutely. In order for them actually to get their education and to have the social interaction that especially teenagers, but all the kids desperately need, and to have structure. So that is what school provides, and there's so much that they lose when they aren't, in the school. Mm. I think one of the things that one of the speakers spoke about last night was that one of the things that's taught us is how much kids actually do want to be at school. Kids that often didn't fit in or didn't, said they hated school, were begging to go back, or so grateful and relieved to be back when they actually went back to school.
Yeah, and I think that that's a very important aspect as well. Last question is how difficult is it to deal with, I'm going to use a phrase that really sounds very patronizing, but I don't mean it that way, misbehaving parents. So when a family does come back from a hotspot area and the school is made aware of the fact that there's been no regard for protocols and caution, how does the school deal with that? It's got to be very difficult. You put in a very unfair position, but you have no choice but to deal with it. How do you?
Yes, of course, it's always difficult to deal with those cases because, what comes back to us is, well, do you know that this one also, and you didn't do anything about them? First of all, I always say we can only deal with what we know. you know, know about. So number one, you know, if that things come to our attention, look, none of us, whether it comes to kids drinking, whether it comes to any kind of bad behavior, no one's seeking it out. But should it come to our attention, we are compelled to do something about it. And, I mean, there was a case in our school where, unfortunately, kids were silly and put pictures on Facebook of things that they were doing which could really compromise the rest of the school. And we didn't allow them back for 2 weeks. And obviously, we allowed them online. But then people saw that we were serious. And I think what I and what we all as principals and managers of schools need to hold is that this is pikuach nefesh. Like, you know, down the line, there is no compromise when it comes to human life. And when you hear these awful things about people traveling on airplanes knowingly having corona, you just have to think, I am responsible for lives. Like, not only education, not only their play dates, I'm responsible for their lives. And if we don't start with that most basic and highest value in Judaism, then we're away. And therefore, I think all of us will be prepared to take that stand. And if people and I think it will give our parents confidence while that particular family or whatever it is will be angry or will be frustrated, I think it will give the rest of our parents confidence that we are taking a strong and powerful and necessary view in the space.
Absolutely right. And well done to you and to all of the schools that are working so hard to and really fighting for the education of our children. That is Director of Kodesh and Ethos at Yeshiva College, Principal of Yeshiva College Girls High School, Natalie Altman.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.